and the blood. Salvation, water baptism, spirit baptism. And these three agree as one. When we get saved, we become a new creation. And when we get water baptized, the old person, the flesh, is cut off. And when we get spirit baptized, we get the power to walk in new life. The blood, the water, the spirit. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Acts chapter 8, starting with the verse 5. It reads, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken to Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lamed were healed, and there was a great joy in that city." And then drop down to verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, as he had preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So they believed, they got saved, and then they were water baptized. That's what this portion of scripture is talking about. And then looking at 14, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who then they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Notice they got saved, they got water baptized, and now they're getting prayed for by Peter and John to receive the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16, "For as yet he," meaning the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Do we need this third baptism? Yes. Not for salvation, but to walk in victory. For the thief on the cross went to heaven without being water baptized or spirit baptized. But I believe all of us want to walk in victory. All of us want to walk into the power that is given to us through the Holy Spirit. Next, I want us to look at chapter 19. Acts 19. Starting with verse 1. "And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, some believers, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" I find this passage of scripture kind of interesting, because why would Paul ask this question if it was not a valid question? Obviously, Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. He had correct theology, and he was asking this question. Therefore, it must have been a valid question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance," meaning salvation, "saying to people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." This passage shows us the three baptisms: being baptized into the body of Christ, salvation, water baptism, and spirit baptism. Now, some have asked, is it always necessary to follow that order? Well, number one, you always have to be saved in order to get spirit baptized, but you don't necessarily have to be water baptized first, because in Acts chapter 10, I'm not going to read that story, but you can look it up. If you read that story, you'll notice that the person there was saved and then filled with the Spirit, but was never water baptized. So you don't have to be water baptized first. In the Old Testament, provides us with types and pictures of what's coming in the New Testament. For example, Joseph in the book of Genesis, was a type of Christ. And I'll read some parallels between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph was a shepherd, and Christ was the good shepherd. Joseph and Jesus were 30 years of age when they began their ministries. Joseph's brothers refused and hated him. Jesus was hated without cause. Joseph was sold by his brothers. Jesus was sold by his disciple, Judas. Joseph was innocent but was accused and condemned. Jesus was falsely condemned to death. Joseph was placed in prison to show his death. Jesus was buried in a tomb. Joseph was resurrected from prison and exalted with Pharaoh. Jesus was resurrected and exalted with God the Father. Joseph knew his brothers when they came to him the first time in Egypt, but they did not know it was Joseph. Jesus knew his brethren when he came the first time, but they said to him, "Who art thou?" Joseph revealed himself to his brothers when they came the second time. Jesus will be recognized by the Jews when he comes the second time. There's a picture. Joseph's a picture of Christ, the Christ that came in the New Testament. And like Joseph, there are other stories in the Old Testament that paint the picture of these three baptisms. Let's look at the story of Moses and the children of Israel. It provides a picture of this. The blood on the doorposts represents salvation. They were instructed in Exodus 12 to take the blood and put it up top, then put it on doorpost, and the blood ran down. And what is that a picture of? It's the picture of the cross, salvation. The parting of the Red Sea. The children of Israel going through the Red Sea represents water baptism. It's a picture of what was to come. And them being led by the cloud by day and the fire by night represents the Spirit baptism. For the cloud and the fire both represented the Holy Spirit. A picture of what was to come. Next verse I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea." Moses was a type of deliverer which represents salvation. Interesting in the New Testament, showing us a picture of the three baptisms in the Old Testament. Next, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting with verse 2. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." I want you to notice the little phrase, "in the Spirit." I want you to also notice that he who speaks in a tongue is not speaking to God, but to man. There is a difference between tongues as a prayer language, speaking to God, and the gifts of tongue, speaking a message from God to men in tongues. So there's a difference there. There's a prayer language in tongues, which you are just speaking to God the Father, and then there's the gifts of tongues, where God is sending a message through someone to speak in tongues, a message to the people. Two different things there. 1 Corinthians 14, going down to verse 14. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies a place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Notice the word, if I pray in a tongue. Praying in a tongue is a choice. The Holy Spirit is not going to force himself upon you. You have to choose to yield, to cooperate with the Spirit in faith. I will pray not only in tongues, in the Spirit, but I also, in my soul language, my native language, my English language, the language I understand, where my mind is engaged, I will pray that way also, so that if someone hears that is uninformed, they can also receive the blessing that came with the Spirit and say, amen. Let's look at verse 4. Go back up to verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Edify means to build up. He who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up the church. Both are good to do. We build ourselves up by reading the Bible and by praying. Why not build ourselves up even more by praying and singing in the Spirit? I don't know about you, but I'm always in need to build myself up. This past week was a very difficult week for me. On Monday, I had to terminate an employee who had been with us for over 10 years. And I asked my wife for prayer, and my kids prayed for me. And it was difficult because he just made a dumb mistake. But unfortunately, the mistake I couldn't help him with. And so he lost his job, just got married last year, has a six-month-old, and has a kid on the way. And I had to say, I have to let you go because of the mistake that you made. That was very tough. And something that I relied on for this whole week, not only did I have to deal with terminating an employee, but now I have the responsibility of trying to cover all his work and responsibility and the pressure and the stress of all that. And what do? I pray. I ask for prayer. I pray. It got to a point where I'm even waking up at night at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Can't sleep. What do? I pray. And I pray in the Spirit, because I need to be built up. We all go through difficult times, hard times, things that we don't want to do, that we have to do. The Holy Spirit is there to build you up, to strengthen you, to get you through those difficult times, whatever they may be. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, which is the passage about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice, in the Spirit. I don't think most people recognize this, but part of our armor is praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when I pray in a tongue, I pray in the Spirit. An obscure verse. Most people don't read the book of Jude, but in Jude 1:20, it reads, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Is it possible, as believers, we are losing some battles because we are not building ourselves enough in the Spirit? Is it possible, as believers, we are losing some battles because we're not putting on the whole armor of God? Is it possible, as believers, we are losing some battles because we are not allowing our spirit to pray? In closing, I want to look at our first two verses that we read, Luke 24, verse 49, and Acts 1:4. And I'll just read the Acts one. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." The question is often asked, is the third baptism in the Holy Spirit for everyone? I believe it is, and I believe the answer comes in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. And that verse reads, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call." That is you. And that is me, everyone. This promise is the same promise that's in Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1. It's the same promise. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Tongues are just one of the many gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we all desire, that we all yield and cooperate with the Spirit to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and to receive the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to build ourselves up and to walk in victory. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word and your truth. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the water and the Spirit that bear witness on earth. I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father God, I just lift up this body of believers right here, Father God. And I just pray that you would open us up to receive all of you. Not just one baptism, not just two baptisms, but all three baptisms, Father God. I pray that anything that is come in the way, that you would remove. I pray that you would help us to yield and to cooperate with your will and your purpose for our lives. I pray that we wouldn't be afraid, for you cast out all fear. Your love, there's no fear needed. We sing the song, how beautiful the name of Jesus, how wonderful the name of Jesus, how powerful the name of Jesus. Your Holy Spirit is also beautiful and wonderful and powerful. And I just pray that we would receive all of you, and that we can walk in victory, and that you can use us and provide those gifts that we need in order to minister to those around us, that you would build us up, and that those gifts would just flow out of us freely, that we would have a word of knowledge, that we would have a healing, that we would have great faith, that we would have the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, that we would utilize all these gifts, because when we have you, all of these are available to us. Father God, we just thank you for who you are, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. And we just pray, believe, and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, would like prayer, we are here and available and willing to pray for you.